The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. Happy you all to be here on this Tuesday, hot day. I tried pulling it off for you. Maybe the spirit will rush it and bring us some cool air. Happy you all to be here. I know it's a bit tough with the lack of AC, but it's a good day. Today's the fifth Sunday after the Pentecost. And as we know, the Pentecost season is all about the growth of God's Word in His church. The green is just a great way of getting that message that God's Word is growing in His church and growing in the world through His church. So we remember that again this day during this Pentecost season. And let's just begin. I do have one announcement. I learned yesterday, those of you may know Major and Linda Clay. On Wednesday, Major passed away down in Arizona. So Linda got in touch with that. We're going to remember them in our prayers. So I never got to know them as well. They were phone and email. We'll remember that. And if we have time to send them over and reach out, I'm sure they would appreciate it. Well, let's begin by singing our first hymn, Gracious God, who send great blessings. As you're able, please sing. Ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as His people, Let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life.
Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As an called and ordained servant of the Word, and by His authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing.
Silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
the Old Testament reading is from Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust, there may yet be hope. Let him give his check to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve children of men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next reading is from the epistle. This is from 2 Corinthians. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in the severe test of affliction, your abundance of joy and extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. I do not mean that the others should be eased and be burdened, but as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, and there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. A great crowd followed him and thronged about him. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, and be healed of your disease. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house someone who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother, and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing our hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Please be seated.
In the name of Jesus, amen. A woman pulls up to her driveway, getting off a 10-hour shift from work, and immediately she's greeted by her father, who's been waiting for 30 minutes to drop off the three young children he's been taking care of all day. The kids are just full of energy, but her father's unable to hang around too long, and he offers an apology and The woman graciously thanks him for watching the kids, and she gives him a hug, and she corrals the children to go inside. And like opening the doors on Black Friday at a mall, the kids dart inside in all different directions, and she has barely any time to get everything settled down and take off her shoes before they're already playing around and grabbing their toys. Her husband won't be home for a couple of hours still. He's at work. And without a moment to rest or time for herself, she is thrown into the problems of dealing with young children. She barely has time to take her work clothes off when she's rushing to the kitchen to get dinner prepared for these kids, and barely is able to have everything settle or grab the kitchen utensils until she hears a crash, a cry, and then a scream from the other room where the oldest one fell and scraped his knee. And so she has the pan in hand, immediately puts it down so she can rush over and deal with this situation. And having reached over there, she's able to give the all-powerful mother's kiss to calm the screaming child. And then she goes and rushes back into the kitchen to start preparing dinner when the phone rings. And on the phone is her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law tells her that she won't be able to take care of the kids the next day because something came up. And because of that, as you imagine, a heated conversation arises. And the woman, out of desperation, tries to convince her to change her plans, but to no avail. Accepting the new circumstances, the woman hangs up only to find her daughter patiently waiting for her and asks her to play a game. The woman lovingly explains, "Honey, I have to get dinner ready, maybe later." But that didn't satisfy the little girl, and she yells at her mom before storming off into her room, and the woman steps to go follow and provide the necessary discipline, but she stopped, and you can see in her eyes a bit of water, and you can see the struggle that she's trying to just hold everything together. She's exhausted, desperate, and hanging on by a thread. We all know the feeling. There's no way to catch a break. It's impossible to get ahead of the curve, and you're hanging on by a thread. Our reading in Mark gives us three such people who are hanging on by a thread. And we have this little 12-year-old girl who was at the end of her short life. No details are given about her sickness or the severity of her disease. All we know is that this young girl was at the point of death, hanging on by a thread. The father, Jairus, like any parent would with a sick child, is desperate to find a solution, to find anyone or anything anyone can help with. And in the story, we can imagine him pushing through the crowd, fighting in earnest to see Jesus. And out of desperation, he falls at the feet of Jesus, asking and pleading for mercy, begging him to heal his little child. He's hanging on by a thread. And in the middle of these events, a woman suffering with a condition of bleeding, having spent all that she had for a cure, going and suffering under many doctors, only to find that the condition had grown worse. The condition has been her constant companion for as long as the little girl has been alive. 12 years seeking an answer, 12 years seeking healing, and nothing to show for it. She's hanging on by a thread. All of them are desperate. All had great needs, and all of them are hanging on by a thread. And in one way or another, you and I all relate to the circumstances. Maybe not in the details, but we all know and have had a time where we're just hanging on by a thread. We know how overwhelming it can be. For hanging on by a thread is not a secure position to be in. And it's easy to be frightened and afraid. Exhaustion comes quickly and you feel like you're losing control. Losing control of your habits, your well-being, and you're hanging on for dear life. You're hanging on only by a thread. I know how we all can be overwhelmed by the circumstance. Circumstances often we didn't even choose for ourselves. Ones we never asked for. Maybe you're overwhelmed by the cost of living and an economy that feels like it might break from under you. Or your doctor tells you that there's no clear solution for the illness that plagues you. Your trust in the government is fading as leadership maybe disappoints you. The scandals come to light and their promises are never kept. Even institutions that we've been a part of, who seem to have our best interest, they continue to seek more from you and take more from you and sometimes betray you. The people we know and love have turned aside for not meeting their standards. Or it may seem that you're the only one who's doing the caring. And sometimes even our families can overburden you with the demands and the requests that they have. Maybe in a way it disappoints you because there's only so much you can do. Or maybe it's because they're overwhelmed too. And there's nothing you can do to change it. Perhaps communication is one-sided. Or there's none at all. Or it seems like you're just grasping for straws. No one's listening to you. And you feel as if you're speaking into an empty void. Or maybe time's running low. And you know there's so much left to do. You're overwhelmed. You're desperate. You're scared. You're at the breaking point, and you're only hanging on by a thread. We know a thing or two about hanging on by a thread. And these three people in our gospel reading knows exactly what that's like. They were at their wits' end, hanging on by a thread, and it can feel like it will break at any moment. Hanging on by a thread is not a secure position to be in. Unless, like the people in Mark, the thread on which you are hanging is connected to Jesus Christ. For Jairus, he had lost all hope, and he desperately sought out answers for the health and protection and the well-being of his young, dying daughter. He was afraid, lost, and losing his grasp on the situation. And he grabbed on to the thread of Jesus, begging at his feet for him to come and heal. And the woman, after 12 years of long suffering, reasoned that even touching Jesus' garments, his clothes, could help. And she literally reached out to touch the threads wrapped around the Son of God. And she found healing. And even more, she found salvation. Jairus, trusting and depending on Jesus to have the healing power, he reached out. And the little girl, Talitha, simply heard the Savior speak, and she was restored to life. Each of them all found the help that they needed in Jesus Christ. And they offer for us that image of saving faith. Because what it means to hang on by a thread is simply to live by faith. You see, the saving nature of faith looks to and listens to Jesus Christ for salvation. The people in Mark's gospel are not brought to healing or resurrection because they touched Jesus' garment or he possessed an energy that dispenses healing. But the woman is healed by her faith. And that makes all the difference. Because Jesus would say to her in a personal and intimate way, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And it's the same faith that led someone like Jairus to push and fight through the crowds and beg Jesus for help. Both of them had heard about this Jesus and they looked to him. And they believed that he had the ability the power, and the willingness to save. And both received what they sought. He healed, and he raised this little girl to new life. Jesus saw their faith, and he acted to save them. And they just hung on by a thread. They were living by faith. You and I, we're still hanging on by a thread. I know all of you are facing great challenges sometimes on a daily basis. Maybe your prospects for better outcomes might seem a little bleak, and you might be dealing with overwhelming pressures and anxiety. And there are no clear solutions or signs of getting the break from the chaos. You might be scared at what the future holds. Will your children turn back to the faith of their parents? Will you find healing? Will the madness end? You're hanging on by a thread. But that's just another way of saying you're living by faith. And that's why you're here. Because you have heard the promises of Jesus Christ and you hang on to those promises, even when it's only by a thread. Because Jesus Christ, he promises healing, he promises resurrection. So you're invited, like the woman who grabs onto his garment, to grab onto his body and blood, to eat and to drink, to hold on by faith. I know you may not see the healing the same way as the woman in our text, but certainly when he returns, you will be healed. And just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you too will be raised with him. Hang on to the promises that Christ has given you, the gifts he's given. Continue to look and to listen to him. Cling to Jesus with confidence. Cry out to him for help. Continue trusting that he has already come for you and that he will come again for you. To be honest, I don't know all the things that overwhelms and frightens you, but I do know that you're not alone. Jesus Christ comes for you, and you hear his voice. You're in his body, and as part of the body of Christ, we have one another. We share and care for one another, and in sharing our burdens, we experience one way that Jesus Christ continues to come and save and to bring healing. And so just as much as we hang on to Jesus, trust and depend on him alone, we can also depend and hold on to one another. Share your gifts and lean on each other for comfort and consolation. You are the church. You are the body of Christ, listening and following Jesus wherever he leads you. And that means you can ease one another who are overwhelmed. You're called to share in your burdens and are invited to pray with your brother or sister. Trust and depend on Christ. And you'll find that Jesus Christ is in the heart of your brother or sister who speaks those words to you. In our life together, we continue to hold on to that promise that Jesus has given to you, trusting that he will do what he said he will do, to come and heal, to come and save, that he's already done it for you. You belong to him, and he belongs to you. And that, by that thread by which we hold on to, will be enough. In the name of Jesus, amen. We continue on page 8 of our worship folder by confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. As you're able, please stand.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing our hymn, Take My Life and Let Me. Please. Sustain, defend, and help them to live in faith toward you and your church. We ask you to look with favor upon the homes of our land. Embrace husbands and wives, parents and children, in the arms of your love. Bless our homes that they may never be a shelter for the defenseless, a fortress for the tempted, a resting place for the weary, and a foretaste of our eternal home with you. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, be with those in authority to serve our community. Enable them to preserve peace and order in our nation. Hear our prayers for our leadership, for those who protect us, civil servants and health care workers. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
O Lord, you did not turn aside the bold requests of Jairus, nor the timid faith of the woman. We implore you, hear our prayers for those in need. Drive away our fears and give us believing faith. Give healing and strength to the sick and suffering, especially Wayne, Sandra, Pastor Flack, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Ella, Ava, Esther, and Samantha. We also commend to you our brothers and sisters who are unable to join in our fellowship, especially Sandra, Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza and Jim, and Alex. Father, we also ask that you give comfort to those who mourn, especially Linda and the family and friends of Major Clay. Assure them in the knowledge that Christ has destroyed death, and all who die in his arms in faith are sleeping until you awake them at the last day. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Blessed the Lord, your Son heals the sick. We thank you that he continues to offer his body and blood in the fellowship of this altar to deliver his healing and saving power. In faith, grant that we may seek his grace and trust in his promises. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
These and whatever else you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We sing. Please.
Mercy of God. we've been doing for normal practice. We'll begin on the right side and then the left side. Thank you.
Now may this, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Amen.
We sing. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, Lord, Take My Hand and Lead Me. Please be seated.
I invite you to pull out your insides.